Chicago sports conversation is now.
Hopefully we get a lot of things answered, the changes that we need to make. Hopefully we make those changes. Hopefully we put our team in a position to win on defense and offense.
The Beat.
It's my favorite time of the year. You know, this is when things start coming to the nitty-gritty. Brings out the best in everyone.
Obviously, no, it's a different season, and you know, we'll be playing for keeps and getting off to a big start, is what we always talk about.
On 720 WGN.
Nothing like an Akeem Hicks, Kyle Schwarber, Joel Quenneville start to your Sunday afternoon sports conversation. Good afternoon. I'm Mark Harmon. He is Jared Payton. And we get to do a show today because the Bears already lost this week on Thursday. JP, what's up, man?
What's going on, Carm? How you doing, man?
You know, there's the NFL, JP, if I may.
It's a weird place right now.
It is a weird, bizarre, unpredictable place. Exactly right. You've got the Rams leading the Cowboys in Dallas 32-30. You've got the Steelers, who the Bears just cracked at home, or at least beat at home, rolling the Ravens. That's not a huge surprise, but the score just a little bit, 26-9. You've got Andy Dalton looking like Joe Montana all of a sudden, throwing four touchdown passes, and the Bengals beating the Browns. You got the Panthers just beat the Patriots 33-30. Cam Newton, three touchdowns.
Don't forget about a rookie. Come on, man.
You want me to get to Deshaun Watson?
I'll get to a rookie.
57-14, the Texans over the Titans. Deshaun Watson, the number 12 overall pick, which was 10 picks after Mitchell Trubisky, who we haven't seen play. 25-34, 283 yards, four touchdowns. I see you, Deshaun Watson. But you know where I kind of wanted just to start for just a second here?
Go ahead.
You know what wasn't a surprise today, or what shouldn't have been a surprise today?
What?
There was this guy who used to be a quarterback in this town, and he was incredibly talented, still is, but sometimes he cared, sometimes he didn't. And today, that not caring Jay Cutler showed up in such a Jay Cutler way. No touchdowns, one interception, 20 of 28. The Dolphins shut out by the Saints, 20-0 in Wembley Stadium, your early game today. And if you missed it, the Miami Dolphins, JP, I'm sure you saw this, ran the Wildcat. So Cutler is split out to the right as a wide receiver. He stands there as the most disinterested human being on the planet. I've never seen anybody not care less about their job, literally ever. And I have seen a lot of people not care about their jobs. And I've had jobs that I don't care about that I can throw myself into.
Well, the funny thing was that he could have been on this on the broadcast, right? Because this would be one of his game. That would have been one of the games that he would have been on, right?
I don't know that, but that sounds fine. I mean, he would have been doing more then. He stood there with his hands on his hips and did not move. I don't think I've ever seen that in the NFL. A play happens, and you have one of your 11 guys. He's supposed to act like he's going out for a pass. Maybe he comes down and tries to get a block. I don't know. Do something. He just stood there. It was unbelievable.
That's your guy Jay for you. I mean, it's not how I expected and what I thought they would do down there in Miami. But, I mean, if that's what he is, man, normally quarterbacks, they show you what they are. If they throw a lot of interceptions, Carm, more than likely in college, they're going to throw those interceptions as well. I mean, 9 times out of 10 in the NFL. And he's just been one of those guys where you start to see some progression and then it comes off the rails and he'll give the ball away to the other team. He'll serve it up on a platter. It's something that we've seen here in Chicago and it seems like it's continuing now with the quarterback play that we have going on right now with Mike Glennon.
Okay, let's go there.
I'm getting a lot of heat from my presser, man. A lot of people on WGNRadio.com checking it out. And it's
what did you say on the presser?
I said it's time to unleash Mitchell Trubisky. It's that time. And You can't keep selling me on the fact that Mike Glennon is what's best for this team. Regardless of what's going to happen, you have a rookie that's going to make mistakes. We've seen it with Deshaun Watson, some of these other rookies, or any rookie that takes underneath center for the first time in the NFL. But the only way you're going to know what you have and see if he's ready. Listen, we don't know if he's ready because we don't get a chance to watch practice. But he could be ready. Let's say he is. And you're holding him back. He needs to get these reps regardless. And people tweeted me, well, it's going up against Minnesota and their defense is good. He's going to have to face them eventually. Let him learn. If you had the thought that this was your guy, you moved up to get him, and you thought that this was going to be the future, well, the future needs to be now. You need to see what this youngster can do underneath the bright lights, man. This team needs a spark, Carm, and it's tough to watch.
So I'm a little bit surprised that you're actually getting heat for that. People want Mike Glennon to be in the lineup?
Nah, I mean, it just the fact of, you know, that I kind of agree with the fans. It was hard because, as a person that covers these teams, I'd want to write the – I love the Bears with all my heart. I want to write great things about them, and it's hard when you don't see kind of the progression that you thought you were going to see. And then when things happen, you have to write what you see, because the fans, they know what's true and they know what's out there. You can't lie to them. And so I found myself just kind of being that guy that's the voice of the fans, Carm, and kind of saying how it is. I said, Mike Glennon, it's not you, it's the fans. They've been waiting for a quarterback for a long time. And guess what? They went up and got this guy in this previous draft, and now everybody's waiting for him. He'd have to come out and play flawless football from day one, from preseason to now, for people to be like, okay, we'll hold off on the rookie. Now it's you knew what was going to happen if Glennon did not come out and perform like he was supposed to.
Well, I gave him credit after week one against the Falcons. He didn't turn it over. He threw two touchdown passes on the final drive. And I thought as far as my expectations for Mike Glennon, I thought he was great.
In that game he was, but the Carm, if you get the big sample size of, like, even watching his film from Tampa, these are things that show up of the, and it's just his makeup. I never attack anybody as a person, but in this day and age of NFL football, you need people to, unless you're Tom Brady, who can sit back and stand in the pocket, you need guys to be able to move and be fluid. And we saw that Thursday night, and I'm not comparing anybody to Aaron Rodgers, but you see his game, that's, you need people to be a quarterback and a guy at that position to be able to make plays.
Yeah, no question. I'm just saying that if he had played great, people would have been like, and the Bears were winning games, I think people would have supported Glennon.
I'm with you, but he's not there.
He's horrendous.
We're not there right now, and people want to see something, and you're going to have to save this season somehow. And I'm not saying that Trubisky is the savior, but at least he's going to give people a little bit of hope to see, like, what the future has to hold. And this offense of getting him out and moving him around, I think, will definitely help this offense that's having a hard time putting points on board, and also with the receivers getting that separation that you need at the wide receiver position.
Well, they have to they got to move on. I don't know if they will. And I watched the Vikings and the Lions today, and that game is, where are we at right now? Is it still 14-7, Detroit on top? I believe that's the case. Regardless, yes, 14, it's a final. Detroit beat Minnesota 14-7. So, I mean, that's next up for the Chicago Bears is going to be a 2-2 Minnesota Vikings team who has a great defense. I mean, the Vikings were swarming all over the place today, and they might not have to face their running back, though. Dalvin Cook went out with a knee injury today. This guy, I don't know if you've been watching him, JP.
He's on my fantasy team.
He is a monster.
It hurt a lot. Not only did it hurt he's on my fantasy team, but the fact is that he's one of my favorite players that came out in this past draft, and I wanted to see him take that next stride of being that running back that Adrian Peterson was for the Minnesota Vikings. And to see a guy non-contact, I saw him make the cut and then go grab the knee, I was like, this is not good for this young man.
No doubt. And if you missed it, here's a guy who's breaking free, makes a cut on the turf in Minnesota. All of a sudden, the knee gives out, and then he gets cracked with a helmet right on the football and goes down with a herd of tacklers around him. So that's that was a rough moment. I mean, he injured himself, then got hit. But listen, they need the rewinding back. They need Mitchell Trubisky out there, and I'd like to just have a little bit of fun here. If we can, 312-981-7200. If you can make a compelling reason, or even any reason, it can be the worst reason ever. Like you can just for a little fun here. It doesn't have to be real, but I would like to hear reasons that perhaps John Fox, Ryan Pace, the entire Bear organization is coming up with to start Mike Glennon in week 5. Because I can't figure out a reason myself, personally. I know that people are saying, hey, the offensive line, it ain't great. The receivers, they ain't great.
No, Carm, you can't bring it on the offensive line. The offensive line is they've done their job. It's been okay. Nope. Maybe the receivers, yes, you might be able to go there. A lot of drop passes, the thing was that what we were sold on is the fact that he takes care of the football. He's good at his progressions. And if you watch the film, it's no knock on him. It just doesn't seem that way. He holds on to the ball really, really long. The ball needs to be out fast, especially now. And we see that with a lot of these offenses in the NFL.
I'm just trying to figure out how they're thinking about it. I mean, because if they're waiting for this perfect scenario, right? Hey, man, look at the receivers we've got now. We got Jerry Rice split out to the left. We've got, I don't know. Let's.
Are you going? Are you digging into like the HOFers, like the Hall of Famers?
Yeah, sure. We got Jerry Rice over there. We got Chris Carter on the right side. We got Randy Moss.
Yes.
Yeah, they're all here. Now it's time. That's never happening, man.
Nope.
You're not going to all of a sudden, create this perfect roster where you can put Mitchell Trubisky out there where he's just it's all there for him. It's just not going to happen.
Real quick.
Yeah.
Even if you had.
So what could their reasonings be?
I don't know. I there's nothing else that you can tell me. I mean, just by watching the film, you have to figure out what's best for your organization. And in the NFL, man, it's all about wins. People want wins. That's what you see what success of a lot of these teams are. And you have to figure out if the guy's not working, then guess what? Next man up. And we've seen it in a lot of situations. Houston had to make that change as well. Now they're riding with Watson, and he is the guy. Hopefully he's going to be the guy for them for the future. Bears fans want to see that out of number 10, man. They want to see him. They want to see him play. And especially after some of the doses that we got out of the preseason of seeing what he can do and move and get out of the pocket. I mean, it's time now. It's time. The time is right now. Let's see what he can do, and maybe he energizes this team and gives some juice to not just the offense, but also to the defense as well.
I'm with you. I just want to hear reasons why the Bears are sticking with Mike Glennon. 847.
So passionate about this, man.
847's coming up with Glennon is Fox's second cousin once removed. Dan Long, get on that. There's got to be a reason. I mean, not only why they're sticking with him, but why in the world did they sign him in the first place? $18.5 million guaranteed for this year. There has got to be a reason out there why this happened. I have never seen a quarterback this bad for this much money in this quick a time. There's got to be a reason. I think we should dedicate the show to finding out what happened. 312-981-7200.
I'm with you, man. Let's do it.
There's got to be something going on. All right, make Sundays your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10 p.m. Stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago at 10:30 p.m. on WGN-TV. Yes, also aware, by the way, we are aware that the Cubs and White Sox wrap up the baseball season today as well. We'll get into the Cubs and the Nationals and the playoffs coming up in a bit as well. 720 WGN. Interesting little tidbit for you over at Wrigley Field. John Lackey came out of the bullpen and replaced Mike Montgomery. I would say that's a pretty clear sign that John Lackey is going to be on the playoff roster, and they're trying to get John Lackey used to coming out of the pen because they would like to have his seasoned veteran presence. JP, you think I'm reading that correctly?
I think so, because that was one of the big things that Joe talked about, was that, you know, with his age and all this other stuff, getting him ready, normal, how he, you know, comes into a game and gets ready and prepares, that coming out of the pen might not be an option. We know that Lackey doesn't like that, but hey, you know what? When you're on a team like this and you have a lot of young talent and guys that are making their way, you have to sometimes get in where you fit in. And I think it's a good sign to seeing that it's something that he's open to and being a part. Plus, not only that, I think Montgomery, if something with Jake Arrieta with the hamstring, if they're still worried about that, you would like to have, I think Montgomery would be the next guy up, but I still think having a guy like Lackey and his veteran leadership and what he's been able to do, I think plays off well for the Cubs.
Yeah, I would like to see John Lackey as part of the Cubs bullpen. Now, I was looking at all the stats today, Nationals against Cubs starters. The Washington Nationals torched John Lackey, so there's that. But I'd still rather have a guy who's been there, done that, as the last guy in your bullpen if you end up in a long extra inning game than, you know, Justin Wilson, who I still think will be on the roster, or I don't, you know, Justin Grimm. No, give me John Lackey. I'll take John Lackey all day. They are lining up here, and we'll do baseball coming up here in a bit, but they are lining up with the Lackey reasons, and they're strong here. JP, we're not the Lackey, the Mike Glennon. Same.
Okay. I was about to say, they already have Lackey reasons?
Yeah, no. We're asking you at 312-981-7200 on an NFL Sunday when the Bears aren't playing. And we'll do this coming up after 3:30. Why come up with a reason, as a preferably a ridiculous one, as to why the Bears are sticking with Mike Glennon? Because we all know that rationally there is no reason. Mike Glennon's a terrible quarterback. Mitchell Trubisky is the best quarterback on the roster, and Mitchell Trubisky should be playing. And the Bears aren't trying to win this year anyway. The point of this year is to develop Mitchell Trubisky. We all know this. Like, it's ridiculous even to say it, right?
Yeah.
So let's come up with the reasons why Mike Glennon is still playing. 312-981-7200, text line, phone line. JP, do you have one that you could throw out there?
No, I don't have one yet. But hold up, Carm, I just thought of something as you said all this.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's think about this. What happens if somehow they try to sell the fact that, listen, okay, Lennon might not be our guy, but what we're going to do is we're going to start Mark Sanchez.
Ah.
And we're going to keep Trubisky still as the backup.
Right.
Wouldn't that throw you off a little bit?
But that would be like a real reason. Like, hey, we don't believe that Mitchell Trubisky is ready, so we are going to start our best veteran quarterback. That, of course, is Mark Sanchez, because as we've all seen, Mike Glennon has turned the ball over 8 times in 4 weeks. He's setting records for turning balls over in the first half of games 3 times. He's done it twice now, which is a record for futility 4 games into a season. There has to be some reason that we're not thinking of that they're sticking with Mike Glennon. There's got to be. I mean, last week, and we got to go to break here, JP, but last week, can you explain to me why you would run the ball time and time again in the fourth quarter down by a ton and basically run out the clock? Wouldn't you have an ounce of pride? And, you know, I'd rather lose 70-0 than whatever they lost by whatever they lost, because, you know, I'm going down fighting.
Yeah.
But these Bears, they're happy to hand the ball off and try to have like some measure of respectability, which is makes it worse.
Well, they just didn't, in a short, to kind of sum it up, that was the game plan that they needed, was to control the game. They did control possession in one possession, but they weren't able to. That's the thing. You look at Aaron Rodgers, he didn't put up the crazy numbers, but he did throw for 4 touchdowns. So you kind of get behind, and I think their thinking is they knew that they had to come in and run the football, but they didn't. They, 18 carries for Jordan Howard, only, 6 for Tariq Cohen? you got to figure out a way to be able to keep it balanced with both these guys. And when teams know that it's coming and you have to be able to produce, it's a tough thing.
So they were running the ball late in the game, down by a ton, to let the Vikings know that we are a balanced offensive attack and don't load up on the pass because we probably are going to run it. So they were trying to keep Minnesota honest.
I like it.
It's a fascinating time at Halas Hall. All right, quick timeout, 720 WGN. It's the Beat. He's Jared Payton. I'm Mark Harmon. Adam Hoge will be on at 5:35. Barry Sverluga, who's a columnist with the Washington Post, will preview the Washington Nationals at 4:35. Opportunity for you to win something at 4:10 roughly. We're going to be taking your calls on the Cubs lineup for game one. We don't know what it will be. Joe Maddon has said he'll put it out there on Wednesday, or at the earliest. So if you can name it, we'll take him down and we'll pay you on the back end. JP,
what up?
Question for you.
I'm here.
I'm a little amazed at what's going on in the NFL here. Let me just, if you're just joining the show, the Rams beat the Cowboys in Dallas 35-30. Okay, that's kind of crazy. The Bills beat the Falcons in Atlanta 23-17. Atlanta been playing great football, minus the Bears game, which they still won, but they've been playing great. Buffalo is now 3-1. That's wild. The Panthers went into New England and beat the Patriots 33-30. New England is now 1-2 at home. They've lost to the Chiefs and the Panthers at home, and they barely beat the Texans in a game where they really should have been picked off a couple of times late, but somehow, some way, it didn't happen because they're the Patriots. But New England's 2-2. That's wild. And what I want to bring up to you is the Texans game again. The Texans beat the Titans 57-14. The Texans drafted a quarterback after the Bears. The Texans quarterback is Deshaun Watson. He's 25 of 34, 283 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 interception, quarterback rating of 125. Now, this is going to be an unfair comment from me, JP. Let me just break. It's totally unfair.
Yes, it is.
But I don't know if you can have any confidence whatsoever, despite how he looked in the preseason, that the Bears got this right with Mitchell Trubisky and Deshaun Watson.
I mean, that's the direction, Carm, I thought they were going to go. I mean, that's what I had them pegged for a quarterback. I just didn't have Trubisky because I just didn't see it. And, over time, I do see it now. I see through the preseason and what I've seen and watching film on the young man that he does. He has all the traits that you want in a starting quarterback. But when you look, a lot of these guys, him, Mahomes, they're all going to be linked together as the quarterbacks in this past draft, and we're going to judge them and see how they all kind of stack out as their careers go ahead.
I mean, the Bears could have traded down, gotten another pick, and gotten Deshaun Watson instead of trading up, giving up 2 picks to get Mitchell Trubisky. Now, this is totally, we haven't seen Trubisky play, but this kid in 4 games, 12 for 23 his first game in a loss coming off the bench against Jacksonville, 15-24. In a win over Cincinnati, total game managing, didn't throw a touchdown, didn't throw an interception. Then he was 22 of 33 on the road at New England. And I know that the Patriots don't have a great defense, but still, that's impressive for a rookie in his third game to go 22 of 33 for 301 yards.
Let's give him credit, though, with the guys that are around him as well, though, Carm. I mean, he's got a better offensive, staff around him than Glennon or Trubisky does.
Fair enough. And then today, 57-14, they bomb out the Titans 25-34 for 283 yards, 4 touchdowns, and interception. Oof. Now he's throwing, you're right. I mean, he's throwing the ball to DeAndre Hopkins, the Bears don't have a half of a DeAndre Hopkins on their roster. And today he caught 10 for 107. So that's true, but anybody that went out and signed Mike Glennon for 3 years and $45 million, I got to start questioning. And we did ask the question here, reasons why Mike Glennon is still starting. And you guys are coming up with some good ones here. 312 981-7200. Because Glennon can buy more ice cream for the team than Trubisky. What do you think of that one, JP?
That's a good one.
I mean, he is a more wealthy guy. That's true.
But I think right now, Trubisky, if he walked in somewhere, he'd probably get a little more free ice cream than Glennon.
That's true. That's a great point. They'd give him the whole store.
Yes.
This is a great one. I don't know if this is referring to Mike Glennon or not. You can help me out here, JP. There is a study. Larger humans are paid more and are thought to be more poised for success than their lower statured counterparts. And then he continues on. Refer to Barack in healthcare, the mayor of San Juan, the Illuminati, and anyone that believes that Little Caesars is better than frozen Home Run Inn pizza. Now, I don't really know how he got to Little Caesars and Home Run Inn from the start and the big guy and the small guy, and I don't even know if he's talking about Mike Glennon, but that's an amazing text.
That is a good text.
Let's see here. Because Fox has a dream, because the sun rises in the east and still sets in the west, because it's opposite season, Virginia thinks he's a nice guy.
She just wants to win. She wants to win probably worse than anybody in the city.
If Mike Glennon showed up in Virginia McCaskey's office, assuming she has an office, do you think she'd know who he is?
Yeah, she would know who he is. That's how, I mean, she still kind of loves football, man. Like, loves football. She wants this team to win better than anybody else.
Russia must have something on Fox to keep Glennon from the 773. I think that's a decent look.
That's a good one.
Right. Because G comes before T in the alphabet. I mean, Carm, I've been saying Glennon has to be related to McCaskey somehow, probably a nephew or cousin by another name, trying to find out.
So give him a front office position.
Mm.
No? All right.
I mean, I'm down with a front office position for him. There's a lot of people.
I'll say this about Glennon. Yeah. Nice guy. Like, super nice guy. Teammates love him. It's just, when you look at what you need in the production, when the production's not there, Carm, I mean, you know, and it's a result business. People look at, and especially at that position, people look at the quarterback, and if you're not playing up to par, it becomes, you're even under more of a microscope than anybody else on the football field.
No question.
So it's, I mean, it's a little, and you can't hide it. You can't hide it. You can maybe for the first game, or you know, you can get away with it. But as the weeks start going on, you can't hide it anymore. And I think that's where the interceptions are the biggest issue. He's turning the ball over for a guy that's supposed to be, you know, good at figuring out his reads and understanding his progressions. He doesn't seem like he's doing that if you watch the film.
If you watch the film, you'll see the worst plays in NFL history. How do you go with a play-action pass on your first play from scrimmage and stand there for 8 hours before getting hit and fumble the football and the game's over?
Don't understand that one. They should have ran the ball out the gate. Show what you're going to do. Like, listen, come out and go. You guys know what we're going to do. We're not throwing the ball down the field. I think, what, leading up to this game, Glennon only had passes, one pass, like 22 yards. Now he has a little bit longer one because he had a 29 reception to Zach Miller. But for three games, it was the first quarterback or team since 2008 with the Browns to not have a pass completion over 25 yards in the first three games.
There's a stat.
That's
frightening.
That shows you exactly what it's all about. And you basically saw it. You saw it against him take a couple of throws down the field in that Steelers game. But, I mean, that was a heavy run. It was heavy runs. And you were getting, you know, big chunks in here and there and committing to the run. And you kept the game close because you were taking care of the football. And if you don't do that, this team's going to have a hard time winning. So you got to figure out something else that's going to give this team a spark.
312-981-7200. Why do the Bears continue to play Mike Glennon? 630 texting, and they play Glennon next week because they want to spend the holidays at home with their families, i.e. get fired. Not a terrible look there.
I'll say this about John Fox.
He ain't getting fired before the end of the year. I'd be shocked.
I would be shocked. It depends on how bad it gets, Carm, but you can't tell me that he knows that he's sitting on the hot seat right now, that he wants to play Trubisky probably. Well, I just don't know if it's his call.
That's interesting that you say that. Let's bring in Gary on the phone line here along those lines, because I think you want to say the same thing, Gary. Go ahead, man. Welcome to WGN.
Thank you. I don't know why Hampton or any of you guys didn't bring it up yet, but I read the biography of Ditka and Vince Lombardi, and both of them told their bosses, leave me alone, I will run it. We know what happened to Vince Lombardi, and we know what happened to Mike Ditka. He got fired. I'm sure, Fox is under the thumb of the McCaskey family, and that's the end of the story. They don't know nothing about football, but you're going to run it the way they want to run it, and that's it.
Okay, Gary, you're missing the spirit of this. We're kind of doing the fun reasons for it, but going real, let's delve into what you're doing here. If you're John Fox and you know that you got to win and show progress this year for you to be kept around, wouldn't you want to go down with the old guns firing? Hey, man. So you're the make him fire you. I'm playing Mitchell Trubisky. You want to fire me for doing it? Go ahead. I'll tell everybody in the media that you just fired me because I wanted to play the rookie.
Well, you're probably right, but I'm just saying the McCaskies have always run it the way they want to, and they know nothing about football. Nothing.
All right.
When Salah died, it was the end of that.
All right, Gary, your phone's not great, so thanks for calling.
I have a hard time saying that just because I'm around, and so, you know, if someone doesn't know football, you know, and we're having conversations, I'll know they don't know football. Mr. McCaskey, he knows his football, especially his personnel on this team, Carm, just by having conversations with him. So I don't know if it's that. It's just you have to not only get the right players and everybody else, and I'm not saying this as a knock to Ryan Pace, but this organization is still trying to figure things out, man. It was in a bad place before Ryan Pace got here.
Listen.
So, I mean, you have to start, and let's not forget about some of the draft picks that have panned out that we've seen of guys, you know, Tariq Cohen and Jordan Howard, and we don't know about the quarterback yet, but there are Cody White here. There's guys that you want to be able to see and watch grow, and even some of the guys through free agency. Let's talk about those corners who you actually saw playing well in the beginning of the first three games of the season. Guys like Kyle Fuller coming back and figuring it out, and which was supposed to be a concern on that Bears defense. I mean, there's good things, but it's just they haven't figured out a way to be able to put it all together.
I know you want to be nice to the organization.
No, I'm not trying to be nice. I'm being honest. I just don't think it's fair to say that they don't care. Let's just say they didn't care. I mean, it comes down to business, right? I mean, business is you want to win and be as successful as because that's going to help your bottom line. So you can't tell me they don't want to win. They do want to win.
I agree with you there. He didn't say they didn't care. He said they didn't know. And the evidence on that is when they needed to go out and hire a head coach and hire a general manager and they're sitting there, you know, oh, my God, what do we have with Phil Emery? They go outside the organization to get a consultant and Ernie Acosta to figure out what the hell to do. So, I mean, they admitted that they don't know what to do.
Yeah. I mean, they're just trying to figure out a faster way, I think, to speed it up, Carm, just a little bit, of figuring out, are we doing this right, having another set of eyes to see what's going on.
It's not rocket science though. Like, and I know it's a different sport, but like look at the Cubs, JP.
Don't even bring up the Cubs, dude.
Well, hold on. No. It's the same thing though, because you're talking about different. You know, a different owner comes in with the Cubs, and it's like, all right, who's the best guy out there that I could go get? Oh, his name's Theo. He lives in Boston. All right, I'll have an interview with him, and I'm going to bring him in here. I'm going to pay him a ton of money, and I'm going to give him full control.
Okay, I'm with you on this one. I'm with you.
I mean, that's what they need to do, right? Now, they've done that with Ryan Pace, but they sort of handcuffed him with the coach.
Yep, exactly.
And so there's a reason why they're on seven straight years not making the playoffs. There's a reason why they haven't won the Super Bowl since 1985. It's you can't point at the coaches as the reason. You can't even point at the general managers. You have to go to the top of the organization.
Okay, if you want to start there, then you have to. I mean, you can go down too, though. I mean, it's all the way around, man. They're still trying to figure it out, and they haven't. And I think that's the concerning part and the frustrating part for Bears fans.
Yeah, and listen, I the knock on the Bears back in the day was that they were cheap, that they didn't care. I never bought the didn't care thing. The cheap thing was real. But they're not cheap now. You can't be with the salary gap. It's not a money thing. It's a knowing what to do thing. Here, let's get Mike in here. Mike, welcome to WGN. Go ahead.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Just want to tell you, I don't blame Mike Lennon for everything that happened on Thursday night. I think it has a lot to do with Dahl Loggins wanting to show that he could throw the ball and make something happen. But with Mike Lennon, it's just not going to happen. I don't see that happening ever again. Hopefully not this next Monday. I think Trubisky's time is here. And they should have run the rock from the get-go, like you guys said.
Yeah.
You know, the offensive line has been doing really well. I know Kyle Long just came back this week, but, you know, ain't nothing like throwing the offensive guys in the fire.
You
they
go,
love that.
Mike, you go to the games?
No, but, you know, I'm just sick of watching the Statue of Liberty here fall apart.
Yeah.
You know, it's blown apart. I mean, it was good, you know, to get somebody else besides Jay Cutler, change the color, you know, the culture of the locker room, all that. They've done that. So I give them that. But, you know, we got to move on from this, you know, what an experience, and just call it what it is. It's a, you know, it was an experiment.
Right. Thanks, Mike. You
know? And that first round pick, how many other rookies are starting in this league right now that went beyond Trubisky?
I think three.
What? Kizer.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. DeShone Kizer, who's
Watson.
And, you know.
Who else?
But look, you look at Cam Newton started right when he came into the league. Jameis Winston started right when he came into the league. Andrew Luck started right when he came into the league. These guys, it's not the same anymore. The quarterback position is so protected right now. Correct me if I'm wrong here, JP, that it's just easier to be successful.
Depends on the situation that, you know, you go into. But we've also seen guys that are highly touted coming out of college and have, you know, struggles early on. But you're picking these guys not only just for what they did in college, but you believe, especially at the quarterback position, that you're sitting down, you're vetting this thing out, you're seeing that this guy can take in all the knowledge as possible, and he also can be strong when things are bad. And that all goes to account when you're, you know, trying to make a selection at the quarterback position. So if you don't think he's mentally strong to go through hard times, why did you make him the backup then? Before week one.
Right.
That's the thing. If he's not ready, then just say he's not ready. You move on and you go with Glennon and Sanchez, and Trubisky will be your third quarterback. But there's something that they felt that he could be the backup. And guess what? He's one play away from jumping in the game by the depth chart when you look at the depth chart. So that's what's puzzling to me.
Well, and that would make their decision a lot easier. Like, I think secretly in some room they're like, well, if the statue Glennon just gets cracked and gets hurt, well, that would be an easier way for us just to put him in there. All right, quick timeout. We're going to do some baseball coming up at 4 o'clock, 720 WGN. Texts keep rolling in here on why the Bears are starting Mike Glennon. 773. The Bears are having Cutler withdrawal. And Glennon puts them in familiar ground. It's not bad, right?
That's not bad.
Let's see here. It's Fox's last year. He doesn't care. If Bears lose, he wants to lose big because Fox wants to retire to Florida. That's all in there. Let's see here. I don't know if this text is for us or not. Sears, the great franchise, waited until 2010 to start doing what Walmart and Target did. By that time, Amazon ruled the world. Their prestige was gone. Sears, in actuality, is the bomb. Craftsman and Kenmore products, still the best. I don't know if that person works for Sears or if that is related to anything, but I like it.
That's a long text right there.
I was on board with the analogy until the plug at the end where they said...
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out here. It's just rando text.
Sears are the Bears.
Sears...
Too slow.
Right.
To adapt to changes in the marketplace.
Look at you, Danny Long. Look at you.
Sears Bears.
I'm done, man. I'm hopping off, man. Dan's got you.
No, don't do that.
847 Sue B. If it gives Fox a chance to perfect the Lovie Smith delivery of Mike Glennon is our quarterback.
I love that one.
Yeah. Why won't the Bears from the 708 hire a smart football guy? How about you, Jared Payton, or Gary Fensick, Dan Hampton, Jimmy Johnson, Ed Obradovich? There are many others that can do the job. Well, they think that guy's Ryan Pace.
They do. And I'm still everything with Ryan Pace rides on Trubisky and what he eventually becomes. And now, you know, I want to watch and wait and see. And we need to see it now. Like, I think the time is now. You got enough time now, 10 days in between these games where you can put together a game plan that Mitchell feels comfortable with, that he can go in and execute. I think giving him enough time to go up against a good opponent, especially a good defense, is only going to pay off in the long run for the young man. Let's say he goes out and, you know what, energizes and throws a bunch of touchdowns, and next thing you know, we're sitting around waiting and going, man, if we would have maybe made this a little bit sooner.
They might have won the Atlanta game with him.
Yeah. I mean.
He's not – that dude's got confidence. He is – I think he's sitting there thinking of himself, will you let me play?
Yeah. And I think he'll be okay if things don't go the way that everybody's expecting it to go for him when he steps on the football field. Like, he's strong enough mentally to be able to withstand what's going to happen and some of the backlash. He's played the position. Quarterbacks are – a lot of them are wired differently. Yeah, we have some that you don't see. You'll ever have your one guy here and there. But most of these guys are cool with it. They understand the pressure that's on their shoulders and what comes with playing the position. Let's see. Can we see what this young man has to offer?
We want to see.
And no to that to that text. I love WG, and I'm not going anywhere. I'm serious.
All right. On that note, quick timeout. We'll do a little Cubs baseball after the news here, 720 WGN.
I've said it several times. Go play. Just go play. I don't like, for instance, when Wilson runs too hard coming off a hamstring. That bothers me. I've told you, and again, Marcel Ashman taught me that lesson many years ago. Let them go play and don't worry about it. If the moment they start being concerned about getting hurt is when they're going to get hurt.
Back to the Beat on 720 WGN.
Cubs in October, third straight year. Only has happened once before. Shockingly, I was not alive. 1906 to 1908. This is the Beat, 720 WGN. I'm Mark Carmody's Jared Payton. Opportunity for you to win something right now. JP and I are going to give our lineups here, but you can too. 312-981-7200. First three people that call, we will take your lineup for game one of the playoffs Friday. And if anybody gets it right, you're going to win Lou Malnati's pizza. Joe Maddon is not putting on his lineup until later in the week, obviously. He doesn't even know who he's starting in game one. So if you can nail it, you can win Lou Malnati's. 312-981-7200. JP, you want to go first? You want me to go first?
I'll let you go first.
Okay.
I don't know who my go ahead.
Yeah, well, I'm sitting here playing around with it. And, okay, here's my hypothesis, all right? Number one, let's talk about the starting pitcher. John Lester is not fully healthy. Getting close, but he's not 100%. So I'm going to rule Lester out. I think Lester's going to pitch game two, which could end up, if Lester pitches great, he could come back in game five, because game five is on a Thursday. Game two would be on a Saturday. It would still be a normal 4 days rest. So who you pitch game one and game two, both of those guys could be available for game five. I think Lester goes in game two. Jake Arrieta clearly is not an option, and I don't think Jose Quintana is either, because he's never pitched in the postseason. So I'm starting Kyle Hendricks in game one. And here's my lineup. Here we go. Leading off and playing center field.
I got it.
John Jay.
Same as me.
Batting second and playing third base, Chris Bryant. Batting third and playing first base, Anthony Rizzo. Batting fourth, behind the plate, Wilson Contreras. Batting fifth, in left field, Ian Happ. Batting sixth, in right field. Does that make sense? I guess it does. Now I'm thinking about going lefty right here. Actually, I'm going to do it like this. Batting sixth, at shortstop, Addison Russell. Batting seventh, in right, Jason Hayward. Batting eighth, at second, Javi Baez. And batting ninth, on the mound, Kyle Hendricks. 312-981-7200. Who can nail the lineup for game one? That's okay. Mine.
All right. So we're pretty much the same. So I got John Jay leading off.
Okay.
Next, Chris Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras. And this is where our switch up just a little bit. You have Happ going, right?
You've got Jay in center?
Yes.
Okay.
And hitting fifth, I have playing left field, Ben Zobrist.
Okay.
Russell next, playing short. Hayward in right field. Baez, second base. And my pitcher would be Kyle Hendricks. He's been the best pitcher for the second half. He's been, for this team, he's been quietly, low-key, pretty good, man. I love watching him, so that's the way that I would go.
There's so many questions in the outfield, because who we're leaving off here
is Kyle Schwarber. And it stinks, but I think this is why Joe Maddon gets paid the big bucks, to figure out, you know, what's best for his team. And I think he would go probably defense. I don't know, man. It's weird. I don't want to leave Schwarber off, Carm, but I don't. Not with that bat. The bat is just so, it's so crucial. You know, in this series, man, runs are going to come at a premium, especially late in games.
Well, and that's why when I was thinking about the outfield, because originally, when I first wrote it down, I had Happ in center and Schwarber in left.
Okay.
And then, you know, you kind of think about it, Kyle Hendricks on the mound, they're putting the ball in play. You got to have your best defenders out there.
Yeah.
And you're not going to start Almora against a righty, so that leaves you with Jay. And I'm assuming he thinks that he views Happ as a better defender than Zobrist. But I think that I'm reaching there a little bit, because he does love the veteran.
He loves the veteran. And it seems like Ben's coming like back around a little bit now that the postseason's here.
Well, and that was the other thing I was thinking about. Because you could, if you wanted to have your best outfield defense, you could put Zobrist at second and Baez at short. You're not going to sit Javi. But you could sit Addison. You could do that.
Yeah, but
I wouldn't be surprised if
I like both of them. I like if Javi's not going to be at shortstop, then second base is I'm fine with that.
The other thing, too, is these are nine-inning games. And one thing we do know for sure is that the Cubs will not stay the same through the entire nine innings in the playoffs. There's no way.
Yeah, it's, you know, the Coach Q effect, man, just kind of figure out this lineup and move it around a little bit.
Especially, by the way, if they're winning. All right. I got a lot of JP, I'm going to be honest. I'm getting nervous.
Why?
I am. I just
stop getting nervous.
I am.
This is a different scenario. If you were talking about, you were nervous about like Thursday night going to Green Bay, I'd be like, yeah, you should be nervous. Not with a team that Carm has showed you. With a lot of guys that were on that roster from last season, they know what this time is about. And the pressure is not on them like it was last year. I think they still have pressure, but I think they're in a better situation now, man. Pressure's on other teams, and especially with this Nationals team, man. Pressure's on them. Come in, and now you got guys, and you look at both starting pitching for both teams, man. This is one of those series that I'm just looking forward to. I'm not scared by any means, but I didn't have them winning the World Series this year, so there you go.
773 text again. Have you considered who will start for the Nationals? I do have them winning the World Series this year and next year. It's part two of the three-peat. So
You want to align them so bad with your guy Jordan. I love it.
I just
love it.
I don't want it to end. I have loved all season long, you know, saying on the air the World Series champion Chicago Cubs. I don't want to stop saying that.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. That part is, it's been kind of surreal this whole entire like year just hearing that. It could eventually change. But hey, man, that's what it's all about. But when you, the biggest thing is getting to this point. And now that they're here, they've clinched and everything is fine. Now you have to get a chance now and try to figure out which team is not just the best team all year, but also the hottest team as you come into the postseason.
So let's take a look at the, and we're going to preview the Nationals coming up at 4:30 here. Barry Sveriluga, who's a columnist for the Washington Post, will be on here as we take a deep dive into the old Nationals. But let's start with this. Number one, I think it's getting underplayed at this point. Maybe it'll gain a lot of momentum, but they're going up against Dusty Baker. Like, Shake and Bake is coming to town. I don't feel like anyone's really talking about Dusty coming here. In Dusty, we trusty. In Dusty, we trusty, we're going to beat him. So, it'll be, I mean, that part of the series, whether Baker will have a moment or two, will be interesting to me. But, the biggest thing for the Nationals is Max Scherzer, their number one starter, who they paid $210 million to, he tweaked his hamstring last night in his last start. Had to come out after four innings. Not sure if he's going to be able to go game one. But it's just a tweak. It's not a strain.
I just saw that he said it's not as bad as, you know, everybody was making it out to be.
Right. But he's not sure if he can pitch game one. That is obviously advantage Cubs.
So Strasburg would pitch first?
Yeah. Steven Strasburg, though, is on a run that has only been seen in baseball by the 2015 Chicago Cubs when Jake Arrieta was going out there with a .75 ERA over the same period of time. Strasburg, since the All-Star break, has thrown a shutout in six of his eight starts. He's got an ERA under one. He's been dominant. So that's, you know, you're facing two world-class guys, and Gio Gonzalez is no slouch either. So this is going to be tough. It's flat out. I mean, that's what the playoffs is. It's never easy, but this is a tough series.
Why are you so scared, man?
Because they're good, man. They're really good.
So the Cubs are really good too.
Right, I mean, I get it.
Have some confidence, man. I don't like this worry, Carm. I don't like worry, Carm. I don't. I really don't. I love that Carm that stands up and goes, you know what? Let's hit this thing head on. We're going up against the Nationals. We understand what they have, especially with starting pitching. But guess what? Our bats could start heating up as well. And look at our starting pitching, man. It's nothing to sneeze over. Come on.
Hey.
Rise and grind, man. Rise and grind.
I am extremely impressed with how they've gone about their business this year. Under 500 at the All-Star break. Coming back out, Joe Maddon with the big front page in the Tribune piece today. Never lost confidence, never does. These guys have been fantastic. And they're playoff tested clearly. They've been there. They know how to do it.
Yeah.
That being said, you know.
Still scared just a little bit.
I mean, you got to be. You got to respect your opponent. I don't think they're going to lose because they're going to be afraid of the moment. That's not going to be it. If they lose, they're going to get beat, period. Mm-hmm. Their pitching won't be good enough, and the Nationals will dominate our lineup. They've got a very good bullpen too.
What's going on with Bryce Harper?
Bryce Harper's come back from the leg injury. He's one for ten coming back. He hasn't played a full game. He's not 100%.
So timing could be an issue for him,
right?
Especially at the plate.
Right. So that's if you're looking for just points of optimism, they're there. Question for you, 312-981-7200. Is everybody looking at this like it's gravy that, hey, they won it last year, it was a phenomenal season, they've got in, which was, you know, a solid accomplishment, and whatever they do from here, I'm not going to be mad at them. Yeah. I'm wondering if people are looking at it like it's gravy. 312-981-7200, text line, phone line.
I'm not going that it's gravy. I can't say that it's gravy, Carm, but it's going to be tough. But that's what we've seen from the beginning of this season. Everybody thought it was going to kind of be cake and that this team was just going to pick up and carry, you know, pick up and carry up where they left off after winning the World Series. But every team is different. You lose pieces here and there. You add some new pieces. You have to figure out how to gel together. And this team had a rough first half, but figure out a way to pick it up in the second. And ending strong to me keeps me confident. That's how I want to see it. It's not always how you start. It's how you finish.
So they were better than the Brewers. They were better than the Cardinals. So you can't say they've overachieved.
I mean, they came down and went. What, after that Brewer series, being swept at home? I mean, they came back and went on a nice little run. Then I'm like, okay, this is a team. This is how you want to see a team that is going to try to go to back-to-back World Series. This is how you want to see them respond.
Right.
Sorry. No. You just get passionate, man.
I bring it. Oh, I feel you. I feel you.
I just how hard it is for Joe Maddon to, you know, last year we saw it all the time, right? With all the antics and all the stuff. And then this year kind of simmered down a little bit, still, you know, on the road with the, you know, wearing the jerseys and stuff, but no zoo animals, nothing like that. To keep these guys focused, these are grown men, keep them focused on the task at hand. It's a tough deal for as long of a baseball season as it is, going through the ups and downs and injuries and all that stuff. I mean, that was one thing that we didn't see last season was injuries, especially to key guys that had to miss some time. And this team still figured out a way to be able to pull out and win the division.
You feel better? I do. I'm extremely excited for the playoffs. It's great that they're in. Their September's been incredible. Sweeping the Cardinals at home was amazing. After that Brewers debacle, get swept by Milwaukee, come back, sweep the Mets, sweep the Cardinals, go to Milwaukee, win 3 of 4, go to St. Louis, clinch in St. Louis, win 3 of 4, end their season. Leonis Martin climbing the wall to end the Cardinals. I mean, it was beautiful. It was totally beautiful. But, I just look at the matchup here. And look at the teams, man. The Dodgers are ridiculous.
Pressure's on them.
And the American League is if they get there, that would... Can you imagine if they make it back to the World Series again? If they were in the World Series again.
My heart. I don't know if my heart can take it, man.
That would be so incredible.
It's just even watching them trying to... I think it was last Tuesday night. I was here late, WGN, just hoping everything they would clinch. And just sitting there watching the TV, it was back to that nervous little, like... anxious feeling, like, come on, man, they got to do this every single pitch, every at bat. You're kind of like, it's underneath a microscope. This is what, you know, getting to the postseason means. It's a big deal.
It is. It totally is. But that being said, you look out at outside the marquee at Wrigley after they clinched. What was it? Monday night? Was it Monday night? I think it was Monday. No, it was Tuesday night. Tuesday night, right?
No,
Wednesday.
Wednesday night. Okay, Wednesday night, right. I can't even remember the night. There's like nobody out there. Big deal. Clinch the division. It's cool.
It's all good.
We've been here. We've done that. We're about World Series now. This is the Cubs winning divisions. Come on, it's 3 years in a row. No biggie. All right, quick timeout. We'll preview the Nats with Barry Sveraluga after the 4:30 news, 720 WGN. You on that pregame show there, JP? Can't hear you. Jared Payton?
What up?
Are you on that pregame show Monday night, 6:30?
Yes, on WGN?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll be there.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yep, I look forward to it.
MLB's got to come correct. The Cubs game has to be an afternoon game that day. Do not put them head-to-head.
That'd be rough.
Don't do that to us.
It'd be rough for me.
Quick informal poll, 312-981-7200. What would you watch?
Oh, come on.
You
serious?
You think it's a lock?
I think the Cubs are a lock.
Last year it was 2-1.
The only way people will turn it on to see if number 10 is playing. If they announce that number 10 is playing.
All right, let's ask it that way.
Yeah.
If 10's playing, if Trubisky's playing, Are you watching Cubs or Bears on Monday night? 312-981-7200. Please listen to the postgame show. Hampton will be with Kaz. We'll be on at 10:30. 847 texting and Carm. Try to be more positive like Jarrett. Glasses half full, not half empty. 312 Carm. As Sylvie always says, don't tell me how to be a fan. How about that? Is that what Sylvie always says? They're in Blackhawks territory now. Losing is not an option anymore. Pressure. Hey.
How's the, hold up. What's the question again?
The question was, Chicago. Are you satisfied if, you know, just getting into the playoffs? I just asked the question. I didn't tell you what to do.
No, I was talking about the other question, about if the two games are on the same time.
Cubs or Bears?
Oh, I'm trying to put it out on Twitter as a question. I want to see what people have to say as a poll question. Like, what are they doing? So, if I'll figure it out. Keep going. My bad.
Well, it's just Monday night. Look, MLB's got to come correct. Don't put the Cubs on versus the Bears in the same city. Let people go to the Cub game, and then we'll all go down to Soldier Field, and we'll all live the dream. That's my plan. All right. News, and then we'll preview the Nationals with Barry Sveriluga on 720 WGN.
In a bigger situation, he probably could have stayed in the game. Yeah. I saw him stretching and trying to get it loose. And so, I mean, you kind of know the signs. And then I saw Murphy's reaction. And then I said, okay. I called the trainer out and Mike out. So it was time for us to make a decision.
WGN. I'm Mark Carmen. He's Jarrett Payton. Hope you're having a great Sunday. Next Sunday, there'll be no football. There'll be no baseball. We'll be in the middle of Game 2 and Game 3. The Cubs will be leading the series 2-0. Right, Jerry Payton?
Yes, I'm with you.
That's what I'm talking about. Barry Sveriluga, who covers the Washington Nationals as a columnist for the Washington Post, joins us now. He might have a different impression of how this series is going to go. Barry, thanks for taking time on a Sunday and jumping on WGN.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
So the Nationals, of course, everybody knows, have been competitive in the NLDS. And last year, you know, tremendous series with the Dodgers, but they haven't gotten through. Do you look at this team as the best team that they've had? I mean, from an outsider standpoint looking in, I would say it is. But how do you see it?
I think that's the right take. I mean, they've had good teams here dating back to 2012. Only the Dodgers have won more games in Major League Baseball since that six-year span. But this kind of feels like, as long as it's a healthy version, the best team that they've had here. They've got a 1-2 at the front of the rotation in Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg, who either could be a Cy Young candidate. Scherzer probably a little bit stronger case. They've got a lineup that has really good flow left, right with Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman with a 36 homer, 8 RBI season, Daniel Murphy, who's kind of now annually in the contention for a batting title, and Jason Worth and Anthony Rendon, who's like a sleeper MVP candidate. And then they short up the problems in the bullpen. It was a terrible bullpen for the first half of the season. They go out and make two trades for three back end guys. So they feel like they've got their best team since this franchise has gotten good.
Everybody, through just looking through some of the stories, Mad Max, everybody's talking about that hamstring. Is it that big of an issue, or is it something that kind of you're trying to plan to play so the other team doesn't know really what's going on with your lineup?
Well, he talked to us this morning, and he kind of downplayed it. They took an MRI, a precautionary MRI, just to make sure they knew exactly what they were dealing with. He said he would have pitched through it if it had been a playoff game last night. It's just not exactly how you want to go into your first playoff start. You kind of want to, you know, get through five or six clean innings and be ready for game one. They do have the ability to pitch Strasburg in game one and give Scherzer another day if they want that. Even if they did that, they could come back with Scherzer in game five if there were a game five, because that would be normal 4 days rest. So not the ability to fool around with it if they want to, but Scherzer was really kind of downplaying it today.
Let's talk about Bryce Harper here, Barry, because I keep on hearing, well, the playoffs will be good for him because there's only two games in a row and he won't have to play three straight days. I mean, this is baseball. It's not back-to-back NBA. It's not an NFL football game. So if he actually does need that time off, I think that's not great news for the Nationals, correct? I mean, he should be able to play a week in a row and it's nothing.
Yeah, I don't downplay what baseball players do. Week in a row is something, but I don't think it should be. The bigger issue for him is timing and his swing, and has he had enough at-bats to really feel like he's in the flow again? So, you know, he's played five out of the last days. He's still in there. Game's still going on right now. He's in there right now. But the weird thing is, you know, as all the players have to deal with is, you know, you win your division and then you've got 4 days off. How do you maintain timing through that period, because you know you only have 4 days off once during the year, and that's during the All-Star break. So he's not at his best right now. He does appear healthy. I think you'll see him in the two hole in the lineup that they use in the playoffs, which gives him the ability to put Rendon, who's been their best, most consistent hitter throughout the whole season, in behind him, and gives him maybe a chance to see some pitches.
What's the status of Brian Goodwin? Because there was earlier reports that he might not miss the rest, but now it could be ready to go for the series.
So you're talking about a bench player, not a huge deal. He's been in Florida getting some at-bats against line pitching down there. He hasn't played in, I don't even know what it's been, 6 weeks probably. I think it's a pretty easy choice for them. If Goodwin's ready to go, he had a good season filling in for a couple of injured players here, he would be on the roster. If he's not, they'll lean on this 20-year-old kid, Victor Robles, who's one of the best prospects in baseball, who has crazy wheels and could maybe steal a base for you or pinch run. But, you know, again, not a huge concern here.
Steven Strasburg, Max Scherzer, who's hotter right now, Barry?
Man, they both look great. I gotta say, just because of the issue with Max's hamstring, that Strasburg stuff the other night in his final start of the regular season, he may be the better pitcher right at the moment. Scherzer's track record is obviously better over time. You know, Strasburg's in this interesting situation where he's one of the guys who's been a pillar of this organization since it got good. Obviously, a first overall draft pick, and had a really flashy major league debut, but he's only pitched in one postseason game for this team over the course of history. He was shut down pretty famously in 2012. He pitched a game in 2014. He was injured last year and didn't pitch in the postseason. So this is kind of a big year for him, a big October for him to prove that the 7-year, $175 million extension they gave him last year was worth it, and it's going to be worth big things going forward.
Are there a lot of Cub fans out in D.C. here, Barry? I feel like we're about to infiltrate the nation's capital here.
Well, I mean, you know, I don't think there's any place that Cubs or Red Sox fans don't infiltrate. You know, I mean, I would think that there'd be a pretty good number of Cubs fans in stands. Nationals crowds aren't the greatest during the year. They haven't done great during the playoffs, really, really energetic place during the playoffs. So we'll see. I was in Cleveland during the World Series last year, and I'm pretty aware of how many Cubs fans made that trip. So a lot of Chicagoans in Washington, I would think you'd be well represented.
And if you were making a prediction, Barry, before you go here, what do you think?
I think the Nationals are better than these Cubs. I do. I think they're pitching better. I think that they have more consistency in their rotation. I don't think they're quite as good at the back end as Wade Davis is. And obviously the Cubs have really hit in the second half of the season where the Nationals haven't. But I think it's a great matchup. I just kind of slightly feel like the Nationals are finally going to break through and win a playoff series. And the Cubs just happen to be the team in their way.
Fair enough. Barry, great stuff. Appreciate the time.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Barry Sveriluga, The Washington Post. As we preview the Cubs and the Nationals, I figured he would say something like that. I got the X factor, JP.
Who's the X factor?
I'm going to tell you coming on back here. I got the X factor that I think we could break out that might sway the series if we need it. I'm not saying we're going to need it, but if we need it, I got something that I think we can do. You feel me?
I'm feeling you.
All right, 720 WGN. Nothing like sitting in the radio studio looking up at the TV and having Jared Payton just staring at me, just commercial after commercial.
Get out of here.
It's so good.
What are you talking about?
It's so good. So much sports feed coming right at me. Interviewing this guy, interviewing that guy, sitting with Josh Freiman here, talking to Josh Freiman there. What's on the show tonight at 6 o'clock? Sports feed, baby.
Andy Mazur will be joining me tonight.
Hashtag Maze Craze.
Yes, so Maze and I will be talking about basically almost the same thing that we're talking about, trying to figure out this quarterback situation and then also as well trying to figure out this this lineup for this Cubs team. So we'll be breaking that down.
I would be very interested in the thoughts of an Andy Mazur on both those subjects.
He's pretty good. He's I always take his baseball knowledge and just run with it. He's pretty good.
I think he did something around the game of baseball for a period of time there. I believe he was the Cubs. I think he was in the booth with like Sano and Hughes and stuff. And I think
so. He's got credentials.
Yeah, he knows his stuff. So here's my thing. All right, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, when Dusty Baker managed the Chicago Cubs, it was 2003, producer Dan Long. They were up 3-1, and then they were up 3-2. And then there was a fly ball down the left field line. And then there was a guy who got a World Series ring this year. His name was Steve Bartman. He reached for the baseball, just like a million other fans reach for the baseball. Unfortunately for Steve, he touched that baseball, and his life was never the same. And Steve Bartman, to our knowledge, has never actually been back to a game at Wrigley Field. And if we get in a situation here, JP, where the Cubs are down...
Enough. I'm dumping out of this nonsense right now.
If we're down, and all of a sudden, he shows up with the hat and the Walkman and the glasses and the turtleneck, and he just peers in that dugout at Dusty, I think that could change the whole series. If we're in trouble, I don't think we need to have Steve Bartman Day or anything like that, but I think that, you know, Steve could help the Cubbies out here if he's willing to come to the park and kind of just, you know, show his face and smile at Dusty Baker. Dusty would be thrown off, man.
I'm not buying into this one, man. I'm sorry.
Why can't anybody have some fun in life?
I just can't. I mean, you went
that's
there.
That's the
you went there. You didn't have to go there.
I didn't have to, but you know, I'm just saying you got to pull out all the stops right now. You're going for a back-to-back. How often do you get a chance for that?
Listen, we can't even get Bartman in the park.
We can't.
Man.
But see, like, this is the thing where it's not about getting him in the park. This is about a situation where we would need him.
Yeah,
we need you to come in.
We got to get him in the park to be able to stare down Dusty. What are you going to just put him on the Jumbotron and have him?
How
like,
about that? That's fine. There it is.
Might be better because you could see from the Jumbotron. I mean, Dusty could see the eyes looking right at him.
There it is. Forget about. He doesn't even need to come. You're absolutely right. He doesn't want to come. He doesn't want to go. He doesn't want the acclaim. I think you throw him up on the big board. You show Pryor, you show you know something to rattle him. I mean, that would be very sophomoric and wrong and infantile, and I apologize for even bringing it up on the great 720 WGN. But at some point, you know, sometimes you got to play dirty, man. Sometimes you got to rattle the cage of who you're going against. You know, it's the playoffs, it's baseball, it's professional sports, this ain't Little League. Yeah. I think we got to make a move here. 312-981-7200. I mean, you're talking about Steven Strasburg. You're talking about Max Scherzer. You're talking about Daniel Murphy. I mean, remember Daniel Murphy? Guy, Cubs didn't even win a game against the Mets. The dude hit a home run every day. I mean, we might have to go big here, JP.
That still haunts me to this day.
Right. Right.
Dude is a beast.
Yeah.
Ugh. Anyway, no, I mean, that's your best bet is to get him on the Jumbotron.
All right.
I mean, even that's going to be a stretch. It'd be cool to, though, maybe have his hand over his eye with the World Series ring kind of like peeking through.
That would be incredible.
You know what I mean?
He should have the ring out. Just taunt.
Just taunt.
I got my ring, Dusty. Where's your ring? You never won a World Series. Steve Bartman's got a ring. Dusty doesn't. Right?
I still think it's a stretch.
Dave, welcome to WGN. What do you think, Dave?
I'm with you. But I think we should go just a little teeny tiny step further.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Let's have some fun. The games get to that situation. Let's call out, okay, guys, Steve Bartman Day. Everybody shows up with the turtleneck, the Walkman, the glasses. The entire stadium is filled with people looking like Steve Bartman.
That's aggressive, Dave. The whole stadium just lurking over the Nationals dugout.
You got it. Well, sounds like a fun day to me.
You're Dave, you having any whiskey this afternoon, Dave?
I'm by myself.
There you go.
Hey, love it.
But I'm enjoying your show very much.
Thank
so.
You.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate you.
I think about it, though, Carm. Just think about that. I mean, not only that, if you're going to go full out Steve Bartman Day, you got to do like a bobblehead or something, right?
Yeah, but the Cubs, their Cubs are way too classy for this. I mean, this is something that only somebody like me would go with at this
That's true.
I mean, they're not going to do that.
But just, I mean, come on, man. Can we have fun with it?
Yeah, let's have a little bit of fun.
I love this.
I don't think Mike wants to have any fun, but Mike doesn't want to have fun here, JP, I don't think.
It's always by the book with him.
Mike, what's up, man?
We got to leave Bartman alone. You know, the man has been out of the limelight here for what? 12 years, 15 years?
He just got a World Series ring, Mike.
I got to give you the old Brandon Marshall line. That's whack, folks.
It is a little whack, Mike. I appreciate you.
Oh, Mike, I love you.
Brandon Marshall reference. Hey, again.
It's whack, bro.
It's a little whack. By the way, the last game at Wrigley, Cubs lose to the Reds 3-1.
Who cares?
Who cares? And they're out on the field saluting the fans, giving the love, which they should. And I hope Steve Bartman, by the way, is somewhere in the stadium right now enjoying it. So the Cubs finished the year at 92-70. Jerry, welcome to WGN. Should we pull all the stops? Dusty's coming back.
Definitely. We should have a bobblehead night for Bartman. What do you think?
Said that. I love the way you're thinking.
Jerry.
Just his head. That's it.
The old
little head that bobbles.
And hand a couple like freebies to the Nationals dugout type of thing.
Yeah, and maybe Dusty could have his kid run out on the field again.
There we go. Get Darren Baker out there. All right, Jerry. I hear you. I'm uncomfortable with this topic. Who came up with this?
You did, man. You're the one. And I wasn't buying into it. And then I just got this little jolt of energy, and I'm like, man, I'm actually rolling with this for a little bit. Listen, if Adam Hogue was on this show right now, he'd be very upset with it.
Adam Hogue will be joining the show at 5:10, which is after you take off to go do Sports Feed with Annie Mazur. So Hoagie will be here at 5:10. I might make his head explode at that point and bring it up. But I'm just telling you, and we'll move on, but this is a big-time team coming in here with some big-time talent, and sometimes you got to pull out all the stops. And I'm all about having solid integrity and doing things the right way. But if somebody actually just made like one little video shot of the 0-3 playoffs on the board, wouldn't kill me if we need it.
I'm cool with that.
And I love Dusty, by the way. I always enjoyed him here.
He's a cool guy.
Dusty's a good dude.
Really good dude. I'd still pull out all the stops to win, though.
We need a W. Let's keep that World Series thing going on. Quick time, I will say goodbye to JP coming back here, 720 WGN. We'll have a regular show next Sunday as well with the Bears playing Monday night with the Vikings. JP, is it going to be 2-0 Cubs at that point coming home for the sweep?
I hope so. I really do. I'm more worried about what's going to happen on Monday night. Big time game, the Bears.
A lot of people saying that they'd go Bears over Cubs.
All right, so is that the question? So next Monday, if the Cubs and Bears are on TV at the same time, who are you watching?
Right.
I have Cubs, Bears, if number 10's playing, .. Bears, and what should be the last one? I don't like sports.
Why do you got to have four? Just go with three. You're good. You're good with three.
Are you sure?
I would just say, I would make the question, if Mitchell Trubisky's playing next Monday night, are you watching A, Bears, B, Cubs?
Okay.
Assuming they're opposite one another. Again, MLB, come correct here. You don't need to go head-to-head with the Bears in Chicago on Monday night. Let's just – everybody wants to watch the Cubs game. Everybody wants to watch the Bears game. Or at least there are some people who want to watch both. Me. Think about
That's
me.
That's it. That's what I'm going to say. I'm going to put both because I have two TVs set at my house. Well, three, but anyway, I didn't want to brag. But I'd be watching both games.
Yes. Those – okay. We can't do it that way, though, JP. The question's got to be if you only had one TV. One TV, one option.
No.
Can't flip back and forth. What are you going with? What would you do, JP? You can't flip back and forth. Can only watch. You got to go Bears. You're a Bears guy.
Yeah, but it means so much more for the Cubs, man. I probably have to go, I don't know. I mean, my job, I have to write about the Bears, so I probably have to sit and watch the Bears. And then tape the Cubs game and watch that later. That's horrible.
You can't use the job as an option. Take that out of it.
I have to. What am I supposed to do? Not watch the game and
just
then
imagine you're a regular JP. You can do whatever you want. There's no beat, there's no WGN TV, there's no sports feed. You can do whatever you want. Bears Monday night with the Vikings or the Cubs in the playoffs versus the Nationals.
I'm probably going to go Bears.
That's so good.
I probably would. I mean, I just love watching football.
I know you do. I know.
It's the greatest thing. I just love watching football.
I know it. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, have a great show.
All right, man.
Say hi to Andy for me.
Hey, Downtown Danny Long. Thank you, man.
Dan Long.
Thanks, JP. We'll see you, man.
All right, JP, going off to do sports feed.
Surprised you're listening to The Beat?
No, I'm not surprised at anything. I don't want to answer any questions like that.
Chicago sports spoken here. This is The Beat on 720 WGN.
720 WGN. It's The Beat, 506. Hope you're having a great Sunday. I'm Mark Harmon. Adam Hogue covers the Bears for WGN Radio and, of course, hosts this show as well. And he joins us now on his Sunday away from the Bears. I heard you on yesterday, Adam, with Kevin and Sam, and I'm going to try to I know that you've covered this team for a long time. Do you have any say in the matter on getting Mitchell Trubisky out there? Can you influence the decision?
I don't think so, unless at some point public pressure becomes part of the equation, and that maybe some of my analysis has something to do with it. Maybe a 0.00001%
Okay.
Influence.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I can give you.
Do you think he's starting on Monday?
I would be surprised at this point if he's not, because I think that was really kind of the last stand for Mike Glennon. And I don't know how here's what I think is the most significant reason why I do think a change is being made. And that is the locker room. Okay. I don't know how much longer you can realistically put a guy like Akeem Hicks out there again and again and again, or Pernell McPhee, or any of these other veterans who have been in the league for a really, really long time and are playing hurt and playing hard and doing everything they possibly can to keep the Bears in football games with some of the worst quarterback play in the entire league right now. So I think at some point that matters. That's something that John Fox even admitted going back all the way back to week one of the season, that the locker room knows before anyone else really knows. And I think it's pretty obvious right now that the locker room knows a change needs to be made. And that's why I do think it's going to happen.
What's your read on and I agree with you, by the way. I think it's coming, but until I see it,
Yeah, I'm with you. I understand.
Yeah. So, all right. I want to know your read on the NFL today. You see the Bills beat the Falcons in Atlanta. Nobody picked that game. The Rams win in Dallas, beating the Cowboys. That was a stunner. The Panthers go and beat the Patriots in New England 33-30. The Jets and my guy Josh McCown beat the Jaguars 23-20. Now, that's not a huge upset, but it's still surprising. Is this just the league that is the NFL? Go Bills, by the way. Got Bills fans outside the studio right now.
That was probably the biggest shocker for me of the day. I did not think that they would beat the Falcons, especially in Atlanta. But, you know, Sean McDermott, well, I guess you put him up there as the quarter point in the season as a leading candidate for coach of the year. I think the same can be said about Sean McVay and Los Angeles. You know, two new head coaches that I think were good fits. I know a little bit more about McVay and the situation going on in L.A., and I talked about this a little bit in the offseason, that I felt like that was a great fit for Jared Goff, who I kind of wiped out his first season, and because I knew it was going to take a while for Goff to adjust to the NFL from the style of offense that he was coming from at Cal. And Jeff Fisher, I like Jeff Fisher, but that coaching, that type of coaching and the staff they had there really was not enough for Jared Goff. And I love what McVay had done with Kirk Cousins in Washington, and I thought it made a whole lot of sense. He's 31 years old, which is crazy for an NFL head coach. So, you know, he hired a good staff with Wade Phillips down there as his defensive coordinator, and they're making moves in L.A., and that market needs it. It's bad news for the Chargers, who can't even draw in a 27,000-seat soccer stadium. But, you know, that they're a fun team to watch right now, and that was a fun second half to watch against the Cowboys today. So a lot of weird games. Doesn't surprise me that the Patriots lost maybe a little bit, but Carolina's kind of back this year, and they're playing much better football. And the Patriots they're well coached, but they have a lot of injuries right now, and they just don't look as dominant as last season.
Let me ask you about Deshaun Watson, who was 25 of 34 today, four touchdowns as the Texans – beat up on the Titans 57-14. You know, this guy went 12 overall. The Bears could have had him and traded down and gotten another pick for him. I know that Ryan Pace is super excited about Mitchell Trubisky whenever he's going to play. But this is something I think that, it at least was worth paying attention to in comparison to how Trubisky does.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we're definitely going to watch Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Kizer and Patrick Mahomes as the arc of Mitch Trubisky's career moves along. So, look, I was one of the people that had a little bit of doubt on Watson. I love everything about his makeup, and he obviously understands football, and I thought he'd be ready to play faster than probably any of these top four quarterbacks that came in the league this year, drafted, that is. And, you know, he entered a good situation with Bill O'Brien, and, you know, they kind of tried to do what the Bears were trying to do with not putting him out there right away, but it was obvious in week one that, hey, Tom Savage, get out of there. Deshaun Watson needs to play. And he's doing an okay job. I still have concerns a little bit about maybe his overall arm strength. His athleticism makes up for some of that. So he's doing some great things. Now, what I will say with Trubisky is he's just as athletic as Deshaun Watson. I think when he finally gets out there, you'll start to see that a little bit more. I don't know if he's as fast, like straight line speed, but he also has a better arm. So I still think Trubisky's going to be the better quarterback in the end. That's why I had him ranked number one, Watson number two. But obviously we'll be watching them all pretty closely over the next few years.
Let's talk about the NFL owners. And apparently there was some meeting this week deciding what to do about the anthem protest and should there be a league-wide mandate. And, you know, today in Baltimore you had the Ravens taking a knee before the anthem, and then they rose for the anthem. And their fans, at least a bunch of them, booed vociferously. Where do you think the NFL goes with this, if anywhere?
Well, it's amazing how complicated this story has gotten. That same situation played out in Arizona last week with the Cowboys doing that before the anthem. And, you know, Scott Van Pelt on SportsCenter had just like a great monologue on it, which was, what are you booing? They're not doing it during the anthem. The flag wasn't even being displayed at that time. They're just showing some team unity. So what are you booing when you do that?
You want me to take a stab at it?
Well, yeah. I mean, we all know what it is, but...
Well, what do you think it is? I mean, my stab is, hey, do you realize how much money you make playing the game? You have it really good in this country. Don't complain about anything. Even if it's not about you, by the way, you're not actually doing it for yourself, but you're doing it for someone else. You know, just be happy. That's how I see it.
Well, I think that's part of it. I think there's, but Carm, I think there's so many layers. I mean, what Trump did when he kind of made it about him was he riled up all of his supporters that react so emotionally to everything that he does. And then on the other side, all the people that are against Trump do the exact same thing. And it like weirdly became like a Trump supporters versus other people kind of divide. And so, you know, I think that every time, like when you see a team kneel before the anthem and it's not really even happening in the anthem and you're wondering what the heck they're even booing, like I think that has a lot to do with it. Like I feel like the other thing is I don't know how much this actually got talked about after Thursday night's game in Green Bay. But in Green Bay, both teams lock arms, the flag's out during the anthem, the flag's out there, and the fans start chanting USA, USA. And a lot of people saw that like, oh, everybody was united and it was a great patriotic moment. I don't know what other people felt, and there's really no way to know. But the Green Bay Packers had asked their fans to lock arms too in the stands, and no one did it. I was using my binoculars, scanning through the stands. Nobody was locking arms. And I honestly felt like that USA chant was actually like them chanting against what the teams were doing on the field by locking arms. Like, I felt like it was going against what the Packers had asked for. But, again, it's confusing. Like, it's hard to really know with all these layers what people are really feeling. And then there's so many people out there that don't even understand the background about all this. Like, I was driving on my way up to Green Bay. I listened to a bunch of different radio stations driving up in Wisconsin. And I was listening to one afternoon talk show. And they honestly sounded dumb because they didn't even understand, like, what the original protests were about. Like, they had no idea. And there's so many people that don't. That's where I think this is just kind of – I don't think it should stop, but I think a lot of it's gotten a little bit out of hand, and there's so many layers now that Trump has gotten involved that it's kind of a mess.
It is. It's a huge mess, and you've got, you know, a lot of owners who have donated to Donald, and you have owners who want to do, I think, what they feel is right morally and stand with their players, and they also have owners that are worried about – their bottom line. And, you know, people are trying to point to the ratings and saying, well, okay, it's down a little bit. And then the NFL, reading everything this week, they're saying, well, they might have more to gain than actually lose if they can handle this correctly. But obviously this is not something that NFL owners really know what to do, because if they do come out with a mandate, hey, everybody's going to stand for the anthem, I who knows how that goes. I mean, a lot of players may rebel against it. I wouldn't think. At the end of the day, they still want to get their paycheck, right? But
I don't think the NFL is going to do that. I think that they've, as much as possible, they've handled this pretty well. I mean, the NFL made a really smart, calculated move to go all in last week and support their players. Not every team handled it that well, but I think there was more good than bad that came from everything that happened last week.
I would agree.
This week, I don't know why, it just feels a little different. Not that it's bad or good, it just it almost feels more forced this week. Does that make sense?
Sure. And the Ravens is just off. I mean, if I'm a Baltimore Raven and I'm peacefully protesting before the game, not even, and protest to me is even like too strong of a word. If I'm having a moment where I'm honoring equality or however, and speaking out against inequality, and then I get up and here's the and all my fans are booing me, I mean, I don't know what my emotions would be towards the people that are in the stadium, but I'm sure I wouldn't like it too much, right?
Right. I imagine they didn't. But I think it also just speaks to, I mean, what I just keep going back to is the amount of people that don't understand what this is about. And a lot of, but Twitter's not the best place to judge reactions and things like that. But anytime I tweet out a quote, or like Prince Amukamara this week at Hell's Hall had some great things to say. And I don't have it in front of me right now, but it was the kind of thing that there was really no agreeing or disagreeing to it. It was just like facts about, you know, racial injustice in our country. And I'm still getting responses today to it. But a lot of it is people that don't even want to hear Prince's side of the story or anyone else's. Like, they're just, nope, that's not how it is. And I don't want to, you know, they're not even willing to go back all the way to Colin Kaepernick. There's just so many people that don't even want to hear what he has to say about it.
Right. Right. So, all right, we'll move along here, but you don't think that anything from the NFL is going to change?
Well, I in what way? In terms of them telling the players what they have to do, I would be surprised if it comes out of that.
Some type of statement from Roger Goodell about where the NFL is going from here, something along those lines.
Well, that might happen. I mean, they're obviously still meeting on this and trying to figure out what's best. It's not going away. I know that. And really, as long as Donald Trump's the president and continues to, you know, tweet things out, like, was that this morning or last night when he, you know, made another statement that, hey, players must stand during the anthem. As long as that kind of stuff is happening, there's just too many players in the league right now that are so against Donald Trump. That's why I think a lot of this has kind of become, it's kind of morphed into something else.
Yeah.
Or it, not that that's even bad. Like I what Donald Trump did last week, I think the NFL players had to stand up against it. And I think, you know, in 9 out of 10 cases, it came off really well and worked. So my point is, as long as Trump's still out there tweeting this stuff every week or going to rallies in Alabama or wherever he is and attacking the league, and why would he's going to continue to do that, because that's just who he is. That's what he does, right? No one expects him to stop doing that. Well, then the players are going to continue to push back. And it's going to, if Goodell tries to stop it, it's just not going to go well. I don't think he can do that. But can he release a statement? Can the league try to unite with the players? And I think that's a smart PR strategy. Then yes, I would say that's likely.
Let's wrap up with Bears here. The Vikings Vikings at home a week from tomorrow, then the Ravens on the road, and then the Panthers at home. If they're 1-7 or 1-6, whatever, do you see any scenario where John Fox is not the head football coach of this team the entire season?
I'd say that's extremely unlikely. Extremely unlikely. But, you know, if they continue to get blown out, sure, maybe, but I would say no, probably not. But I mean, let's look at the schedule though. It gets easier from here. I don't think the Vikings are some great team. You know, I watched their entire game against the Lions today. They got Case Keenum out there, who's just an okay backup. Their offensive line is still not that good, which is an area where I thought coming into the season, the Bears would have the chance to beat the Vikings twice this year just because of that matchup. And then Dalvin Cook goes out, and they're pretty sure he tore his ACL today. That's the Vikings running back out of Florida State, who from the point he hurt his knee in that game today, it went straight downhill for the Vikings. So, they beat the Vikings on Monday Night Football at home last year. I actually, you know, it would not surprise me if they win next week at all, coming off this long layoff, especially if Trubisky ends up being the quarterback. I think that completely changes the offense. And we might see, you know, a very different Bears team. So, and then the Ravens don't look good either. So, you know, these next 2 weeks, are not impossible to get two wins out of this.
Nope, they're not. And then you come home with Carolina, who is total hit and miss, and you go to New Orleans, who's not exactly a world beater either. So
yeah,
they're winnable games. I there's no doubt, but I mean, a lot does have to change. And the Vikings, I watched a bunch today. That defense is strong. I mean,
Yes, it is.
They are athletic. All right.
I think they sacked Stafford, was it 6 or 7 times today? Maybe 7. I don't know if that plays into the Trubisky equation. I would hope it wouldn't. I mean, at some point, you can't be scared to put him on the field. You just got to play him. But that is certainly a tough test, although he does get 10 days to prepare for the Vikings defense.
Now they sacked Stafford 6 times today. Adam Hogue, you are the man, and I know you're very excited for Dusty Baker coming to town.
Hey, I am excited for playoff baseball to start. It's been, you know, the regular season is too long. It was a tough year for my White Sox. So I had a lot of fun watching the Cubs in the playoffs last year, and let's get this thing going.
Here we go. It's coming on Friday. All right, Hoagie, you're the best.
See you.
Adam Hogue jumping on his show on 720 WGN. .534, 720 WGN. Congratulations to everybody who made it through the old Yom Kippur Jewish holiday. Fasting, sundown to sundown. It's always a tough one. I took it on, Dan Long. I got in there, went for the fast. And so,
is it the how often have you done it over the course of your life?
It's a hit or miss. I wouldn't call myself Mr. Consistency, but I think the last, decade, I think I'm pretty good. But here's a question for you. I'm coming home last night, right? We had to break the fast. And I got in the back of my car. I got all the good Jewish cuisine. I got the tuna salad. I got the egg salad. I got the bagels. I got the cream cheese. I got the noodle kugel. I got all of it. It's all in the back seat. Pull up to the place. Get on the phone. Thinking about life. Wake up this morning, go to the car, bags in the car. Tons of food. I mean, I got the lox. I got everything in there. And this is like some good quality stuff. Now, it was kind of cold last night. It wasn't warm. 50s. But it's, you know, they are fishes and
fish though. Yeah, you don't want.
See, I think I'm good. I think I can do it. I just need a little bit of support here. 312-981-7200. What's the longest you left out something like a tuna salad and ate it and you were totally fine? I mean, this stuff is like, I mean, this is a delicious homemade noodle kugel. You can't just throw that out. It was in the car from, say, 10 at night till 9 in the morning. I mean, that's only 11 hours, right? Tuna salad for 11 hours at night? No biggie. It's got to be delicious. Still edible. I got a stomach made of something that can handle it, right?
Bubala. I don't think it's healthy.
I'm not saying it's perfect, Badish, but can I survive?
Bagels, yeah.
Well, the bagel is, of course,
cream
the bagel.
Cream cheese, maybe.
Cream cheese, maybe. You don't think the fish, huh?
No, lox, no.
So it's not worth the risk on the cream cheese. Like, I can go get some cream cheese, but this is some good tuna salad.
No.
Can't
no.
do it?
No.
Can't do it?
Because, see, you understand, it was cool last night.
It was cool.
Yeah, but it wasn't that cool inside the car because it maintains a certain temperature within that structure.
But that structure had the windows were open.
You left them open?
I didn't leave them open.
Oh, okay.
No, they weren't open.
But the refrigerator's a lot colder, and you need to keep it colder. Yeah, I think you're.
It's over.
I think it's over. I think you're playing with trouble if you.
I mean, I'm getting thoroughly scolded for A, leaving the food, and B, even worse, thinking about eating the food.
Yeah.
But I think it's fine.
Well, you know, if you're the only one who's eating it.
Right.
I feel for you.
I mean, why can't I have a little tuna salad that's been in the car overnight?
you're a nutcase.
In fall.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
Come on.
No.
I really do believe it's fine.
Even the tuna swam away.
I mean, what's going to happen to a noodle kugel overnight?
The noodle kugel is not bad, even though isn't there some cottage cheese in
there? Yeah, there's some cheese in there.
I don't know.
312-981-7200.
Bubala.
Thank you, Bubala. Appreciate okay. you, buddy. Michael, are you a chef?
Hey, I am.
What do you think?
I am. You're playing with fire, brother. You're gonna have another fast. That's not gonna be your choice to have it.
You really?
Yeah.
You're sure?
I mean, it's just my wife won't eat leftovers after 3 hours. I'll eat pizza in the fridge for a week and a half as long as it's not green. I don't care, you know. But I mean, it's I'm a chef. I'm coming home. I'm not cooking.
Right.
But, yeah. You got 4 hours in the danger zone, the temperature danger zone. 4 hours, and the bacterial multiplication is epic.
Epic.
After those 4 hours, yeah, it's crazy. It's like you're going to be eating out of a petri dish. Throw it away. Start over. You better safe than sorry.
Even
you know what I mean?
Even the noodle kugel.
Hey, there's no way I'm endorsing this, my brother. I'm
okay.
Right now.
All right.
I want you to be safe. I love listening to your show.
Thank you, Michael. Appreciate
all right,
you.
Be good.
Thank you.
Take care.
312-981-7200. Would you, can you eat a tuna salad / egg salad that's been in the car for 8-9 hours? I mean, when you were a kid and you went to lunch or went to camp, right, it was like 100 degrees, and they'd give you like a turkey sandwich with lettuce and mayo. And as a kid, you took it down, didn't you? I mean, I did. I don't get it. I do get it, but I think I'd be all right. Carm, I am a nurse. You'll be visiting the ER if you eat any of it, and don't do it. No good. You're a 40-year-old man that can't even remember to bring in the leftovers. Moron. I see food poisoning in Puke City from the 847. You know, we don't have to get personal here. And yes, I agree with you. It's pathetic. And by the way, I'm not 40. I'm 44. And I left the leftovers in there. How pathetic is that? It's terrible. It's embarrassing. But I do think it, you know, at least I'm honest, buddy. Putting it out there. This is my life. I live it on the radio every now and then. Matthew, what do you think? Yes or no?
All right. Temperature's got to be 34 to 40 degrees. You're outside that parameter. It's called botulism, brother. But I don't want you to die.
But even for 9 hours?
Brother, I won't eat it after 30 minutes.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good. I need to know. You're a 30 minutes guy. So, I mean, with all due respect, I love the call, but we don't apply to each other.
Well, I mean, I got 25 years in the cooking industry.
Yeah.
Operated chef. Really like listening to you on the radio. I have to call in on this.
Okay.
You'll jack up your stomach. My wife, she's an ER nurse. She'll see you at the ER. You'll be complaining.
Okay.
It won't be good. I mean, you're going to rip up your insides. You might get some kind of funky parasite from it.
That does worry me, the funky parasite, like, stays in your system forever thing. One bout of food poisoning, I can handle it, but the long-term thing is no good. What about, like, if a cookie falls on the ground, Matthew? Do you eat it?
Absolutely, brother.
Okay. Well, then, now that gives you credibility. Appreciate you.
See you, bro.
See, like, that's another thing. Cookie falls on the ground. I'm eating it all day. Carpet's a little more funky because then you got the hair issue, but like on a wood floor, chocolate chip cookie, delicious cookie, got to eat it all day. Get Lester in here. What's up, Lester?
I had an apple fall on the ground on an airplane about a week ago. About 6-7 seconds, some guy was nice enough to pick it up, give it back to me. Do you eat the apple or not?
Apple on an airplane that somebody else touched? No, because it's an apple. It's just not that good.
I was starving, and that was the only food I had.
I'd go, if I was in that situation, then I would go to the toilet, I'd wash it in the sink, and then I'd eat it.
I did a little napkinage, a little Kleenex wipage, and ate it. But hey, man, I'm the ultimate optimist, but no, tuna salad, egg salad, I don't think so.
All right, Lester.
It's sitting out bad. Now, the noodle kugel, you got a shot at. And I want to know, how did you leave? Were you drinking, or what was the reason?
No, I wasn't. If we're going to tell the full story, I had girlfriend Chelsea with me. I dropped her off at her place, went to park the car. I think there's part of me that thought that she took the food in. So I wasn't expecting it to be there. But she says that I said that I would bring the stuff in, which I don't believe I would say, because if I'm dropping you off at your place, you would think that you would bring the stuff in. That would be protocol. But she says that I said that, and maybe I was just being a nice guy, and then I blew it.
I'm going to hold Chelsea responsible for the whole thing.
Thank you, Lester. I appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Go Cats. 312-981-7200. Sue, let's get a female's perspective here. What do you think, Sue?
Well, this is a story. I'm a senior citizen sitting on a porch listening to this, right?
Uh-huh.
In Waukegan, and we are, I am hosting 14 young men, sons and grandsons, on Thursday before they take off for a fishing trip.
Yeah.
I can't begin to tell you how much tuna salad I am making for this crew.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you what they don't eat, I'm going to ship with them to their fishing hole, but it's going to be on ice. The problem that you have is not the tuna salad as such, but it's the mayonnaise that's turning you sour, and that's what's going to make you sick. So if you really want some tuna salad, come on to our house in Waukegan on Thursday. You can join the crowd. 14 people will not even know you're there.
Is it a sweet tuna? How do you describe your tuna? I'm a very picky guy with the tuna, Sue.
Okay, well, you got to start with the little bow tie pastas.
Bow tie pasta and the
okay.
tuna?
Yeah, you may start out.
Wow.
I know they are. You start out with my husband's listening to me on the radio.
The husband didn't like the bow tie angle?
No. You have to have bow tie pasta.
Uh-huh.
A little bit of chopped up celery, real fine. A little bit of sweet onion.
Uh-huh.
Drained tuna, but not the tuna with the water. You got to use tuna with the oil because that's where the flavor is.
Do you go sun-kissed or star-kissed? Let's start at the basics here.
Cheapest.
No, Sue, worth the money.
Wait, sun-kissed or what was the other one?
Star-kissed is cheaper. Sun-kissed is the goods. You got to go sun-kissed, Sue. You got to go for the white. You got to go for the white and gray beautiful container, not the green. You got to go spend the dollar. It's worth it.
But it's got to be the oil, not the water, because the flavor is in that. But you drain that oil off.
Uh huh.
Okay, and then you put that in with the bow tie noodles and. The celery and the onion, and you mix it all together. You throw in mayonnaise, not salad dressing.
No doubt. No, Sue?
No. Mayonnaise, and you keep it chilled.
Sue?
Yes.
I've never talked this much about tuna on the radio with anyone. This is history. Thank you, Sue.
Okay, come on over Thursday. We've got a plate for you.
I'll see you, Sue.
Okay.
Thursday.
Bye.
Sue's Tuna. Hashtag Sue Tuna. Thursday. I'm in. Carrie? You got a beef with your husband who left food in the car that you want to talk about and get make a move here?
Yeah. It ranks right up where with dumber things that have happened. First of all, I wouldn't eat the salad. It would be disgusting. It's not worth getting sick over.
It's a really good salad. It's so good.
But
go ahead.
I know, but now we're getting sick over. So anyways, one time we live up near the state line. We were heading down to Schaumburg. We were having dinner at Maggiano's.
Uh-huh.
So I brought a cooler with an ice pack for leftovers. Put it in the trunk of the car. We go in. We have dinner. We've got really good leftovers. We're going to go into some stores. I said, put the food in the cooler in the trunk.
Yeah.
Well, all he heard was the trunk.
So he jumped in the trunk?
So he put the food in the trunk, but he didn't put it in the cooler.
Ah. These things happen, so Carrie. Men aren't perfect. We make mistakes.
He does this a lot, though. He does it a lot. Had to throw the food away. I was not happy.
Well, don't sweat the small stuff, Carrie. He's trying.
I know. Have a good night.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you, Carrie. I apologize, 773 on the text line. I didn't. Sun-kissed is an orange. You're correct. Star-kissed is the tuna that I do not recommend. You got to go for the good stuff. Get yourself the upper level tuna. That's how you got to live a life. You need a good tuna.
I expect you go get your own. You go fishing, get your own tuna, and then bring it back.
Settle down there, Baddish. I'm not going fishing for anything, let alone tuna. Kathy wants to support me. I appreciate this, Kathy. You say go for it?
Absolutely. Sorry to buck the trend, but I'd absolutely go for it. It's fine. It's wrapped up from the deli or wherever.
Yeah, It's in a plastic little container. What could go on in there?
Exactly.
It's a delicious situation.
It was cool last night. It'll be fine.
Wow, Kathy. I think she may throw it out before I get home, but if it's there, I'm going late night snack all day. Despite the mountain of support the other way. Thank you, Kathy.
All righty.
People are texting in that they think that Sue's tuna sounds disgusting. I got to be honest. I didn't love Sue's tuna. I don't put noodles and all the fine things that she said in there in my tuna. My tuna is a very basic tuna. Mayo, onion, tuna. That's my tuna. It works. It's delicious. That being said, I would try Sue's tuna. Always worth a spoonful. When you go to the deli, it's a little awkward, but if I'm going to go tuna salad sandwich, I've never been there, I will ask to taste the tuna. Now, that might be a little high maintenance, but I think it's the right call. But I'm a big tuna salad fan, as might be overly clear at this point. Steve, you want to go skydiving? Steve, I don't understand what's written on the screen here. Go ahead.
Well, I think Kathy wants your job. I love your show.
Thanks, Steve.
Yeah, remember that you don't need a parachute to go skydiving. It is your choice. You only need a parachute to skydive twice.
You think I'm in that big of a dangerous situation here, Steve? You eat the tuna, it's going to be all over.
It's your choice.
Okay. But, Steve, I'm asking for advice. I'm looking for guidance. I'm coming to you, Steve. What would you do?
You know, I wouldn't tell you because the people that follow after you are going to want to sue me because I gave you bad information.
Okay. Well, I don't want you to get sued, Steve. That's for sure. I do appreciate
it. No, I'm just saying, I always use a parachute when I skydive.
Okay, I got you. No tuna. Parachute skydive. I'm on board with you, Steve. I smell what you're cooking. It tastes delicious, even though I still want to eat this tuna. Mimi, people are starving. You're not going to make me feel real guilty here, are you?
Well, people are starving in Puerto Rico and other places.
Yeah.
And I think you should ignore whatever these people are telling you. Go ahead and eat it and see what happens. And prove them wrong. And anyway, if you're going to eat tuna, you make it with Genova. That's an imported tuna. It's in oil.
Oh.
Originally has the name of, like, Genoa in Italy.
Yeah, there's an ad on the line that says Genova tuna here, too. Where do I get this Genova tuna? Is that at your local Jewel, Whole Foods? Where do I got to get a Genova?
You can get it at, it's cheaper at the Jewel.
Cheaper.
But it's not packaged in Italy anymore. Seems to be in Thailand and Colombia. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know what they did. They must have run out of it. But I think you should just go ahead and eat it.
Sounds
too good to throw out.
It's so delicious. I mean, this is a good level tuna. Thank you, Mimi. Appreciate you. Now we all know to go out and get Genova tuna. The old Genova tuna. Mike, what's your recommendation?
I have a cure-all for your tuna, Con. It's called Blast It at 400 degrees.
Yeah.
In the oven. And pour it over toast. And call it Tunella King.
So you're saying that
King.
Right.
Throw in some mushroom soup or some celery soup or something with the tuna.
Yeah.
And then just blast it at 400 degrees. That's going to kill everything.
So if I go how about if I just go a little Munster cheese on top and an English muffin under
Munster cheese, you can throw in some peas and carrots or whatever you like.
Okay, I like that. Now you're thinking outside.
Blast it, and it's going to kill all that bacteria.
I love you thinking outside the box, Mike. Thank you so much for that one. I'm gonna present that to Chelsea as an option here, although I think the stuff's already been thrown out. But if it isn't, we're still in business. Okay, I think I'm running out of time here. A lot of people want to talk tuna real fast. Larry, you're saying you're all in?
Oh, I think you'll be fine. Yeah, I went out this morning to go to church in the morning around 7 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I got an outdoor thermometer on my garage, and it was like 43 degrees. And I opened up got in the car, and it was freezing cold. I had to put the heater on.
Right. Where do you live, Larry?
I'm in the far southeast side, Chicago.
Right. I'm close enough to that.
But it was cold. And like I said, I had to put the heater on right away.
Yeah.
I think you'll be fine. You're talking 10, 11 hours.
Yeah, it's nothing.
I think you'll be fine.
It's nothing. Thanks, Larry.
All right, man.
Appreciate you. That's what I'm talking about. Last one. Ann, real quick, you love the Genova tuna?
Oh, good, yeah. You will love it. It's also, it could have another name on the can, T-O-N-N-O.
T-O-N-N-O?
T like Tom, O-N-N-O. And it comes in two kinds. It comes in a white albacore and a yellow bluefin.
I'm going for that white albacore, Ann. That's me.
Yep, yep. You'll love it.
Okay.
But I wouldn't eat what you had in the car.
Okay. Even if I blasted in a casserole like our last caller?
No, I wouldn't do that.
Okay. All right, Ann.
Take care. Thanks.
Thank you so much. I didn't know how this one was going to go as far as the tuna takeoff. I thought maybe people would get involved in I didn't even mention the egg salad is delicious too. You had the lox and the bagel in there, but everybody just turned into a tuna fest, which is some form of history. Hey, Brian Noonan's coming up next, 720 WGN.